The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Hello and welcome to Stories from the Bunker, the weekly podcast where we look at the strange and the supernatural, the weird and the wonderful. And with me, Robin, today are Alex.
Hello there, Robin. You okay?
All right. Thank you, Alex. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad. Not too bad.
Not too bad. Looking very happy, looking very well. And Martin.
Looking unwell.
I'm feeling good. Feeling good. You all right?
Yeah, yeah. Good. I feel like recently we've been a bit low energy, but today we're high.
One energy. Not in general.
Just in general.
Yeah, speak for yourself.
So I've got a story to tell you both today, but Martin will be looking at some current
affairs. At some news. Yeah. I think there's only really one thing on everyone's minds. Well, probably a lot of things on people's minds, but in the news, the main thing has been Trump and Kim Jong-un. Issues there.
And a bit of a
development in the last day or so. Mm. So I'll be having a look at that.
Yeah, and I'll be sorting the quiz this week, which I'm happy about. I don't get to lose again this week.
Your run has come to an end.
But I've themed this week's quiz, and there's a bit of a twist to it as well.
There's a twist to the quiz.
Yeah.
That's not fair.
Good twist.
Bad twist for you, but...
For me, personally. Well, you've rigged the quiz.
For both of you.
Okay.
We suffer for your entertainment, people, just so you know. And of course, we'll be looking at your comments and reviews.
Yes,
and indeed. Big shout out to our Patreon supporters. We'll be getting their exclusive mini podcast after this goes live. Okay, well, I want to talk to you about a kind of scientific thing, but let's start with, I have a question for you both.
Okay.
What kind of company doesn't want to advertise its business?
One that doesn't necessarily want to... Shady business.
Like a private spy company.
Yeah.
Maybe a private army, that kind of thing. Maybe.
Yeah, I mean, that would all make sense. Mm. But you need to find clients somehow, right?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Well, another type of company that doesn't like to advertise itself is a cryonics company.
Okay.
Yeah.
And tell me more.
They don't want to mislead the public into thinking that they have a guaranteed ticket to the future after they die. Because, as you know, cryonics is an optimistic procedure. And cryonicists believe that technology will sufficiently advance in the future to a point where human cells can be rejuvenated and the aging process can be reversed. By their own admission, they don't know what form the revival and life-extending technology will take place. So some scientists dismiss it as, you know, not real science, pseudoscience. In fact, I'm not sure they're even polite enough to call it pseudoscience. They just dismiss it outright. But cryonicists are optimistic and they believe that technology will advance. And, you know, kind of sympathize with them because just think how far we've come in the last 100 years.
Yeah.
So cryonics is concentrated on finding the best way to preserve a human body so that future generations can successfully revive them once the technology exists. Now, just a little bit of background information about the process of cryopreservation. It typically uses solid carbon dioxide at minus 80 degrees Celsius or liquid nitrogen at minus 196 degrees Celsius in order to freeze bodies. There are at least 300 cryogenically frozen people in the USA, and several thousand living people signed and fully paid up to be frozen when they die.
Wow.
It's quite a lot. Yeah. Worldwide, there's around 500 people who are preserved.
I'm so interested in like cryogenics and this kind of thing. So I've got loads of questions, but I want to wait until I want to see if you're going to go into it.
Oh yeah, hopefully I can answer your questions. Cryonics was popularized in 1962 by a man called Robert Ettinger, who was a schoolteacher, and he's known as the father of cryonics. He wrote a book that was published in 1962 called The Prospect of Immortality, which, incidentally, Isaac Asimov helped him publish. So if Isaac Asimov, great, lauded, very much worshipped almost science fiction writer and pseudoscientist himself, thinks this was a good idea, then there must be some good thinking behind it.
The father of... I mean, cryonics. You don't want to be called the father of cryonics, do you? Sounds like you freeze your kids.
Well, actually...
it's like, guys, please stop calling me that. Like, father of cryonics, yeah. I just came up with the idea.
Well, Robert Ettinger founded the Cryonics Institute, which is one of several organizations and companies that offer cryopreservation services. Regarding the legalities and the ethos of cryonics companies, the current CEO of the Cryonics Institute, Ben Best, says that we're classified as a cemetery, but I would like to think of us as being more like a hospital, caring for patients that are metabolically challenged. Challenged, yes.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Now, Robert Ettinger died on July the 23rd, 2011, and was cryopreserved.
Of course he was. Imagine if he wasn't.
Yeah.
The outrage.
It would be funny if he weren't, yeah. But, of course, he was not the first person to be cryopreserved. The very first man, a human, to be cryopreserved after their death was James Bedford in 1967.
In 1967?
Yeah, wow. Surprisingly early. And he remains preserved at the Alcor Life Extension Foundation.
How long are you preserved for? Surely there's a finite amount of time depending on how much you pay.
I was going to say for life, but I feel like that's... Not accurate.
Like surely in terms of the amount of space they have to house bodies.
In perpetuity.
Really?
Officially, yeah.
That's the terms. And is it kind of, how do you pay?
Is it like a one-time fee? Or is it like a subscription, like a Netflix thing?
Well, I don't know how people pay, but there is a fixed price for it. So, for instance, the company that I just mentioned, the Alcor Life Extension Foundation, if you want your whole body to be preserved, you become a member and you pay $200,000.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
So it's quite
a lot of money.
Yeah. But then again, if you're preserving it for
how long? Yeah.
For however long. I wonder, depreciation as well. You know, this James bloke, you must be like, can someone just get him out of here? He paid us $5,000 back in the spent it and it hasn't appreciated.
But also, does that cover like the reawakening surgery? You know? What's the incentive? If in 200 years they discover. You know, the ability to reawaken these people. Imagine Earth in 200 years, it might already be overpopulated. No real incentive to reawaken these people.
That's an interesting point.
What's the guarantee that they're going to be like, let's wake these people up?
I confess I made a massive assumption and thought that these cryonics companies would reawaken them once the technology is available. But actually, I have no idea if they are obliged to reawaken them. It might just be, hey, we're preserving your body. Because that is the emphasis of cryonics. It's all about the preservation. Yeah. There's no guarantee that there's separate companies who specialise in reawakening. It's just like, you've got to pay us a fee.
But if there is massive overpopulation, like it seems to be, will be the case in the next 100 years, surely a couple of people being reawoken won't exactly mess up the screwed system.
Sure. I mean, that's very true. But also, if their families all died out by that point, what's the incentive to wake them up, you know?
Curiosity, maybe.
Oh, yeah, curiosity. What but you do that a couple of times, and then you're like, I'm done now.
It's the year 2500. Mr. Bedford, what was it like in 1967?
Mr. Bedford, he's probably the most likely to get woken up. All the others, I don't know. I mean, maybe the famous people. Simon Cowell wants to be cryogenically frozen, apparently. So they'd probably wake him up.
He's had enough Botox, he almost is frozen.
Get him coming back out of everyone.
In 100 years, he's still on X Factor.
Just a machine. Well, I mentioned the Alcor Life Extension Foundation and their price of $200,000 per person for full body preservation. And this is the company at the center of today's story. And the sad affair of Dora Kent.
Sounds sad.
Now, Dora Kent was born on May the 1st, 1904, and as a young woman, she worked as a dressmaker in New York. She married, and her son, Saul, became a board member of the Alcor Life Extension Foundation. In 1987, at the age of 84, suffering Alzheimer's, Dora came down with a fatal case of pneumonia. She was brought to the Alcor facilities in Riverside, California, so they could freeze her when she died. She was their eighth patient and the oldest person at that time to ever be cryopreserved. The Alcor workers removed her head and stored it in a nitrogen-cooled Dewar flask, and no doctor was present.
This doesn't sound good so far.
It doesn't sound likely that they're going to get her back.
Is that what they do? They remove the head?
They do.
That makes it far more challenging. Well, I'm presuming that would make it much more challenging reawakening them.
These days, yes.
Defrost him. No, we've got to attach the head first.
Well, it's an interesting challenge, isn't it? And I'll briefly describe the preservation process, actually, to make sense of this. So first, the body is obtained as soon as possible after death. Mm. Obviously, you don't want to wait too long. Packed in ice and transported to the storage facility, depending on the company you've signed up with. And there, the blood is drained from the body and replaced with a mixture of antifreeze and other organ-preserving chemicals. And the specific chemicals have changed over time as research has improved the process.
Antifreeze.
Yeah, this more or less transforms the corpse into a vitrified state, which can be risky since the body becomes brittle and can fracture in the final stage, which is when you immerse it in liquid nitrogen or solid carbon dioxide.
Mm. Okay.
The big challenge is preserving the brain. It's incredibly dense tissue, and it's shielded by several natural layers that more or less prevent pumping all these cryoprotective chemicals into it. So in order to, if you were to leave the head attached and pump the body full of these chemicals, they might damage the brain.
I see. Mm, right. Antifreeze, yeah. The brain doesn't sound like a good idea regardless.
No, it's not a great idea. Today, Alcor can store a body intact, but back in the 80s, they felt it was better to preserve the head separately so that the process of preserving the body didn't destroy the brain.
Sure.
They're a separate process for the head.
That seems a bit more sense. Yeah. Weirdly sinister now.
Yeah. In the case of Dora Kent, though, it's important to remember that no doctor was present when this was done. They more or less, they found her, saw she was dead, cut off her head, took her body and her head separately to the storage facility. Sorry. Then the Riverside County coroner got involved. The office, led by Raymond Carrillo, autopsied her headless body and determined the cause of death to be pneumonia. But then the coroner reversed his decision and said he thought she was murdered.
No.
He'd found certain metabolites in her body that led him to believe that she was alive when they started to freeze her. And metabolites are...
Wait, yep. She was alive when...
Started to freeze her?
Yep. But she was already... She didn't have a head at that point.
Well, yeah. But the head lives for, like, what is it, up to a minute after you decapitate somebody?
So they, like, straight away cut the head off, stuck her in the freezer.
This is the scandal. The coroner decided
more
after
a scandal.
On closer examination, but he only examined the body, which was headless when he saw it. Right. So he wanted to make sure that the metabolites he found in her body weren't just part of the chemicals that they pump into the body to preserve it. He wanted to make sure that they weren't metabolites produced during the natural process of living.
Sure. Mm.
But in addition to the metabolites, he did find a deadly cocktail of drugs in her system, which is the drugs that they used to preserve. Naturally, anybody pumped with antifreeze would die. So,
there's the slight issue with, you know, I mean, you're going to have to flush that out if you're trying to flush it out, reattach the head.
Yeah. I mean, and the blood as well. They take all the blood out.
Reattaching the head, does that mean? Hypothetical. Mm. What happens if you wanted someone else's head? Simon Cowell's head on this old woman's body.
Oh, could you pay extra to have, like, a donor's body? Like, I want to be an Olympic athlete, you know, when I wake up.
And then just your brain.
Well, this is it. In the future, I reckon the whole head thing is probably going to be... I think it's going to be easier to just kind of download the brain into a computer or something.
Yeah, that makes more sense.
Maybe even put it into a completely separate, perfectly fine body, as opposed to trying to mend your broken, antifreezed body. Maybe.
No, I think you're right. Uploading the consciousness to a computer sounds more plausible these days. I don't know if that is plausible, but I know scientists have talked about it.
Pretty Black Mirror.
Yeah. Mm. So just to make sure, the coroner demanded Dora's head for further testing, as well as all of the other Alcor patients' records and their bodies, because he needed to make a comparison. But Alcor refused to comply. So several Alcor workers and volunteers were arrested, and a week later, a SWAT team raided the facility and seized pretty much all the property, including all the medical equipment that they used to preserve the bodies. And the raid revealed that, according to the deputy coroner, Dan Cupido, Alcor had better equipment than most medical facilities to treat the living.
Interesting.
Yeah. But then Alcor sued the county for false arrest and illegal seizure and won.
Wow.
And they won a $90,000 settlement on behalf of the workers who'd been arrested, who were deemed to be falsely arrested. The seized property was returned and the arrested workers were released. Then the court granted a restraining order against the coroner, protecting Dora Kent and all the other frozen human remains at Alcor from seizure, destruction or damage in the future.
Oh, I see. So they're wanting to get rid of them to hide any evidence? Potentially. Restraining order.
Well, basically, they can't touch, they can't raid the facility or anything. They can't do anything.
Oh, sorry, that way around. Okay.
Yeah, so the restraining order means that...
restraining order
that
on
everything Alcor does is secret and they can do what they like.
We're back to being sinister.
Yeah. Somewhat ironically, the publicity of the case earned Alcor an increase in their membership and therefore more income. So, another question for you. Was Dora murdered? And if she was, is that actually inappropriate, given she wanted to be preserved?
Well, yeah, I guess even if they did murder her by cutting her head off, they're doing it with the intention of like, well, we're doing this for your own good, so you can live in the future.
To an old lady with Alzheimer's.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not defending them. I want to say that's clear right now. I'm not saying what they did.
Yeah, I can't think what they did was right.
I've dug myself a hole. No, I'm not defending. I'm not defending them if they did that. I'm just saying that maybe that's...
Carry on.
I'm just saying that that's probably or could be what they were thinking, you know? You know?
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, you're saying that as if I'm... I'm not a murderer.
You seem quite defensive, Alex.
You seem surprisingly defensive.
What was the original question?
The question was she murdered? And if she was...
Was she murdered?
Is that actually inappropriate in this case? She was 84, she had Alzheimer's. She probably had pneumonia because the coroner decided she did.
It's always inappropriate if you're murdered, and that's quite a light way of putting it, right?
If they start cutting her head off while she's still alive, that is inappropriate.
That's not appropriate action right now.
Yeah.
It seems like she may well have been if the body was alive.
It does also...
Yeah, inconclusive, though, yeah.
I mean, that story, in my mind, doesn't really add up. Mm. Like you said... He thought she may have been alive while they were freezing her, but they cut her head off. It must have been so quickly that they transferred her body to the freezer.
I mean, yeah.
Well, they literally put it into a large flask full of ice, presumably.
Do you think that she's perhaps the best chance that they've ever had of bringing her body back to life because they killed her when she was still alive?
Good question. Ooh. Yeah.
As in, like, they knew she had Alzheimer's. She wouldn't be able to know what was going on.
Mm.
And they killed her when she was alive so they could freeze her, basically, when she was still alive.
Because one of the company's board members was her son.
Yeah.
Mm. Like, you're not going to get a closer connection to the facility than that. He's, like, day-to-day monitoring her condition, right?
Yeah.
He can say, let's do it now before she's too far gone.
So he used her condition as an excuse to be able to do it.
Do you reckon...
Have a perfect...
Could be.
...example of...
Do you reckon as well that if they did bring her back... It would be the first murder case ever solved by the victim.
Oh.
Whoa.
Good point.
You got a story there.
That is a story.
Yeah.
Although probably everyone else would be dead, right?
Probably, yeah. Unless they did it like now.
Mm.
That's the thing. I mean, I wonder how far medicine has to advance for them to say, do you reckon we could, you know, those frozen people that we've got on ice, do you reckon we could bring them back now? At what point does it get to you where the risk is no longer like, let's try one.
Because you've got to have some failed tests, right? Yeah. Yep. Or trial and error. It has to be involved at some point.
Oh, it's like, going to be horrific.
I mean, can you be sued for that?
Like, there's going to be half-alive zombie people, I imagine.
Family?
Yeah.
Yeah. The other thing is,
yeah.
you wouldn't want to be brought back unless they'd found a cure for Alzheimer's, right? Be brought back,
right? Yeah,
that'd be pretty bad.
Yeah. I can't imagine Alzheimer's is in a great place at 84 years old.
You wouldn't have thought so.
Luckily, I mean, in terms of sorry,
no, I was just going to say, I mean, they'll probably find a cure for that before
finding a way to bring people back. So. Yeah.
You'd expect so.
Yeah. I imagine.
But there's if they do want to carry out tests to find out if they can bring people back from the dead, luckily, there are at Alcor at least 90 pets that have been preserved.
I mean, yeah, I guess that's a good place to start.
Including a tortoise, I think.
To me, it sounds like a massive scam.
Sounds like
just get everyone, get $200,000, just get a bunch of chest freezers, chuck them in there, and then $200,000 a person. You don't need that many. You know that it's not going to happen in your lifetime. You live the life of luxury while having all these freezers about. You had a good old profit for that. You don't really have to develop the technology for bringing people back yourself.
It reminds me of certain cults that we would dismiss and society as a whole would frown upon, where you get members who pay a fee because they believe in the system of the cult. And this is kind of like that, where genuinely the people who are paying for it, the members, they believe this will work and they want it to work. So, and in a way, like, it's a weird one because are the staff at Alcor lying to people?
Are Alcor actually researching ways to get people to bring people back to life? Because otherwise, it's just a glorified freezing service.
I think genuinely all they do is provide the freezing services.
Man.
Yeah.
Because anyone going to business? Or
Who's going to...
$200,000 a person.
Yeah. It's huge.
Because, who's going to pay for them to be reawoken down the line?
That's it's not
exactly clear, is it?
Yeah, I don't know if it's in the contract. I mean, they are, to a certain extent, keeping up with medical advances because they are... And assuming this is genuine and it's not just another part of the scam, they are constantly researching new ways to preserve people, or rather, better ways to preserve people. Mm. So I'm sure they're keeping up to date with the latest developments in terms of the resuscitation process, let's call it that. Mm. But I don't think they're obliged at all contractually to wake anyone up. I think they just provide the freezing services.
I remember looking on a website, actually. I don't know if it was Alcor or another... one of their competitors, but it said something like, we don't know what the future is going to be like, so you do this at your own risk kind of thing. And, we can't guarantee that we'll keep it safe in the event of like war or the country disbanding or that kind of thing.
Kind of disclaimers, something could happen. In fact, Alcor's website says, calling someone dead is merely medicine's way of excusing itself from resuscitation problems it cannot fix today.
But,
which is an interesting argument to make. I mean, because it does. If you accept that this is true, then surely that kind of, if you believe in like the idea of a soul and it moving on after death, what is death if it's actually just, temporary?
Interesting question. I guess these members must mostly, if not all of them, be atheists. If they believe in life after death, they wouldn't want to be preserved to be reawakened. 75% of Alcor's patients and members are male, which is an interesting pattern. Mm. And about 8 members die every year. But there have been years where none of them
have died.
How
many members have they got?
They've got 1,250 living members.
Times 200,000.
Yeah. Although some of them might have only paid for their head preservation, which is $80,000.
Head in a jar,
exactly. It's Futurama. Yeah. Like Anders Sandberg, who's from Oxford University, at the Future of Humanity Institute, in his life insurance policy, he has a clause that allows his head to be frozen when he dies in the hope that the brain can be downloaded into a robot.
Yeah, I think
in the future.
If I was going to do it, I'd save myself a bit of money and just go for the head, because I think that's going to be the most important.
Just go for the head.
Just go for the head package. I think that's going to be the most important thing down the line.
But here's the thing. They're getting better at it, but because obviously of limitations of technology and the cost involved, a lot of their patients, their heads are not stored individually. They're stored in freezers with other people's bodies. Would that freak you out?
I mean, I don't think it would bother me, to be honest.
Okay, so the sanctity of the body and all that is not a thing that bothers you.
I don't think I'd be around to really
appreciate.
I mean, you could say the same about people being organ donors. Oh, I don't like the thought of it. And it's like, you're dead.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
Hey. It's a good point. Yeah, I mean, a strange one. Do you reckon you guys would ever sign up, become members, if you were like, had the money?
If money was no object.
If money was no object.
If money was no object, I wouldn't want to give it to some scammers.
Strong words.
Yeah. I prefer to give it to a good cause. Because that's what I think it is. Yeah. I think that they're cashing in on people's hopes of one day being able to come back to life. Because let's face it, even if you can be brought back, these people aren't doing it for you to be brought back. They're doing it because they can freeze your body and get all this money from it.
Mm. Yeah. They're saying we can freeze your body without destroying it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, what about if it wasn't run by this company, or it was just like it was just like a charity, or you win a ticket. You know, you win a golden cryogenic ticket.
Oh, right. So
ticket.
It's free for you. But
it's free.
Yeah,
it's free
for
you, basically.
Yeah. Well, would you do it?
Oh, why not?
Just in case.
Really?
Why not? Well, actually, because
wouldn't you be endorsing it if you did?
No, actually, no, because then you wouldn't be able to give your organs away, would you?
I mean, the question, I guess, is basically not really the morality of the company.
Would you do it if it made no difference? Would you want to have the chance of potentially being brought back one day?
Yeah, but then you don't know what the future's going to be like. It could be horrible. Yeah.
Why not? Let's
Here's
do it.
Another interesting aspect of it. Philosophers, most of them, not all of them, but most of them think that the problem with this cryonics, they say, even if it works, imagine if someone from 1670 was preserved and came back today, they'd have a mental breakdown. I wouldn't be able to function in society.
I mean, I was thinking of Futurama. This is like...
Yeah, this is more like Futurama. Yeah.
I mean, that's an optimistic, the most optimistic thing that could happen, right?
Futurama.
you wake up and you're just year 3000 and everything's kind of okay. You're fine. You get a job.
But even then, that only works because they've already built the resuscitation, resurrection technology into the cryo tube, right?
Because
they accidentally wake him up, don't they?
Yeah. It's not Fry... like with his head.
Yeah.
Headless.
Yeah. True. I don't know. So you wouldn't do it, Martin. Alex, you would because you're not bothered you?
I think it's a good idea. Give it a go. I don't think it would work, but yeah, I'd be I'd be interested. Why not?
Okay.
Even if that's to sew your head back on.
Even if they have to sew my head back on.
And so that's a pretty strong pay meds for that. Yeah.
That's the thing that gets me. The people who have their heads and bodies preserved, but in the early days had to have their heads separately preserved because the technology wasn't quite there yet. Although I think today they can preserve bodies completely. Is how on earth... Again, it's that whole faith. Technology will figure out a way that we can attach your head successfully back to your body.
Yeah.
Mm.
But I also don't get the blood thing. Like, how do they think they're going to successfully flush out all the chemicals and get the blood, the right blood type as well, back into your body? I don't get that.
I think that maybe that's less of an issue, maybe. Just get a drip going for
but it gets,
10 years.
It does get to the point, though, where I think the only ways I can imagine, obviously I'm not a scientist, but the only ways I can imagine to successfully bring your body back would require so much surgery and artificial parts, you might as well just go for the brain and just download the brain.
Yeah, get a robot body.
Well, that's a bit presumptuous, isn't it? You might as well just go for them downloading your brain. Like, if that exists.
I guess another question of morality, if you were going to choose to do this, is that your family then don't really get to mourn you because you're choosing to believe that you're not actually dead, you're just in stasis.
Ooh, interesting.
They don't get that option of, you know, they have to go on thinking that there's a chance you might come back in the future.
Mm.
They don't.
Do they think that?
They don't get that kind of closure. Well, I feel like a small part of them would think.
There was a legal case recently in America where a baseball player had himself cryonically frozen, and the family sued each other because I think his son or his daughter said, "Yes, this is what Dad wanted to do."
Mm.
The others all wanted to bury him.
Yeah.
So they had a massive legal battle.
I mean, that's another thing, isn't it? Yeah. Mm. A time of high emotion as well.
Yeah,
to someone's death, what you do with the bodies?
Yeah,
and there was that case in the UK a couple of years ago with I think there was like a 14-year-old girl who wrote to an MP to ask for permission to be cryogenically frozen,
right.
But then her dad was trying to, was trying to sue the mum for allowing her daughter to do this,
yeah,
because he thought like it wouldn't be right. She might wake up in the future and be all alone. And but she was like, I want a chance to live.
Yeah.
Was she dying, I take it?
Yeah, she should have led with that. So she was dying. Yeah. And then she eventually won the right. And it might have been through Alcor, it might have been with someone else, but she was cryogenically frozen and her body was shipped to the US straight after she died.
That's interesting because, I mean, that makes sense because she's 14 years old, right? She's legally old enough to take responsibility for her own decisions. So she wants that, yeah. I understand the dad's pain, though. That must be difficult as a parent.
At the same time, do you lose... his reasoning being that she might wake up all alone. But if you don't believe it will work, or you believe that it could work in the future, surely there's some closure in that, right?
Good point, yeah. He must have assumed it would work in order to have that argument and against it.
and also for her, like, it's maybe there's something that's similar to people believing in religion. There's that hope of there being more after life.
Mm.
So it's like for her, that might have given some comfort of, okay, I might wake up in the future.
Science is the new religion. People have lots of faith in its ability. Just out of interest, if anyone wants to know, there's a Russian company. The other biggest company after the Cryonics Institute and Alcor is a Russian company called Kryorus. And they'll freeze your entire body for $36,000.
Cheap.
Yeah, much cheaper.
I mean, you don't really want to go for the budget option.
apparently, one of the reasons it's so budget is because they have a communal attitude and they have giant freezers with loads of bodies in it.
It's literally the chest freezer I was talking about earlier.
It's just loads of bodies in the giant freezer.
They definitely aren't going by protocol, are they?
Protocol.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
You can bet all those Russian oligarchs, Putin and his pals, they've got it planned, I bet.
It's got... Surely there's a scandal around one of these where they've just basically taken your money and just dumped the body somewhere.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Or turned into cat food or something.
God.
Soylent Green. Soylent Green is people.
Oh, dear.
Oh, that is dark. Yeah. That's very dark.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. Kalshi. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you found that interesting. I thought it was particularly interesting. What do you guys think at home? Please message us on Twitter or on YouTube comments with a video, a version of this podcast, or
email.
Email.
Email. Some people do.
Yeah, it's great. That's really good stuff. Yeah, I love when people send us updates on topics that we've discussed but didn't have the full answers to. It's really good.
Yeah.
It's really useful.
And so what do you guys think? Would you get cryogenically frozen if you could?
Yeah.
What a question.
Do we have any comments from the last podcast or recent videos that we want to look at?
Yeah, I've got a few.
Cool. Yeah.
So first of all, we've got a new review on Apple Podcasts.
Have we?
Ooh. Yeah, we have. From Uno Dos Katie.
Uno Dos Katie. Fine.
Uno Dos Katie.
Thank you, Katie.
And she gives us 5 stars, so thank you so much.
Wow.
And she says, I've been following these guys for such a long time on YouTube and their podcast kept me entertained during those long journeys to college throughout the year. Also, how much would I have to give to your Patreon to get Robin to narrate my life?
The whole life.
So actually, that is a good question. How much would someone have to pay you to like follow them around? Let's say for 20 years.
20 years?
For 20 years, follow them around. It's like
that's not their whole life, is it?
But it's like a 9-to-5 job, maybe like 5 days a week.
Oh, okay. So it's not like literally, because if it's 24 hours a day, then there's not much point paying me anything, is there?
You get,
I'm just going to be hanging around with them.
Once they go to sleep, you can go home and you can sleep.
Once they go to sleep.
But you've got to be there. By
until they fall asleep.
I think we've got to ask, Katie, are you a decent human being? I assume you are, because you've given us 5 stars. But if you're really annoying, it would be awful to narrate your life. Or if you're doing horrendous things. if you're a nice person doing nice
things. It's an interesting point that hadn't occurred to me. But if you are, for instance, a serial killer, it might be difficult for me to narrate what's going on in those circumstances.
Katie was then running away from the police.
But this is part of the deal. So you've got to take those risks in mind. Yeah.
I suppose you could do it remotely.
10 million.
Like potentially, you could have like body cameras and a drone, and then as long as there's an earpiece for Katie,
she can hear me.
I can work remotely. and just narrate in the microphone and transmit it to her earpiece, and then Katie, you'd get really annoyed, to be honest, if I was narrating everything you did. Katie says hello to her mother. Her mother says hello, Katie. I'm not sure it'd be worth your money, to be honest. But thank you. I'm very flattered.
Okay, so, and going to our YouTube comments. Rocket Summer says, Robin was very convincingly human this week. Good job, Robin. I just love how this is caught on.
It is really caught on, isn't it? Robot Robin.
Yeah.
Oh, that was it. Okay.
That was it.
Well, I'm glad I'm learning. This is good.
AI in action.
Ames89 says, when you really want to watch these as soon as they come out, but they're just so chill and fantastic, you save them for bedtime.
Aww.
Wish it was more than once a week. Love you guys.
That's very kind.
That's great. That's really nice. Kind. Thank you.
And then Nom de Plume asks, he's got a pizza-related question after our pizza party.
Yeah.
He says, I'm an American who's been working in the pizza industry for 10-plus years. The pizza with the big slices that you can fold is New York style.
Yes, nice.
There is also Chicago, St. Louis, and California style.
St. Louis, what's that?
Isn't that St. Louis?
St. Louis. Yeah, that makes
sense. St. Louis, I prefer that. St. Louis pizza, what does that consist of?
I don't know.
I'm not sure, to be honest.
Okay. Different styles.
But he says, I would really like to try some pizza from Britain to compare. Is there a uniquely British pizza combination that you enjoy?
I think you'd probably find it's just like your pizza, but inferior.
So. Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah.
I think maybe it's more more inspired by the Italian influence. Because American pizza and Italian pizza are fairly different, right?
Because am I right in thinking like Chicago style is...
Deep dish.
Yeah.
It's more like a pie almost, isn't it? Or is it pizza pie? Or is that something different?
I don't know.
I don't think they call them pies, right? Sometimes.
Yeah.
Do they?
Chicago.
Yeah.
Because we have, like, I don't know if it's in America, we have the brand Chicago Town, which is distinctive for its deep dish.
But most
of our pizzas aren't like that at all.
No. Mm. They're more thin, crispy.
We have Italian thin and style. Thick crust, but they are still not very...
I feel like we're kind of... like magpies in terms of cuisine as a country. We just kind of steal everyone else's.
What I would say is that I think it's a bit of a misconception that food in Britain's bad.
Yeah.
I think if you look at what our traditional dishes are, there's some good, some bad.
Yeah,
but I think if you come to a city like London, or if you're shopping and decide to make your own stuff, everything is pretty much available that you get elsewhere. It's just quite eclectic.
Yeah. I think one of the big things about Britain is, like Alex says, we are, I think, a magpie nation. That's a good way of putting it. Where we borrow dishes from other nations, but then we also invent our own versions of those dishes.
Mm.
So, like Indian food is the most famous example. Is it masala?
Chicken tikka masala.
Yeah, it's like is invented in Glasgow.
More is exported to India than India to the UK.
And vindaloo, I think, is another one that we made up. So we make our own decent versions, and I think pizza in Italy is meant to be finer, like less heavy on the toppings, often without cheese.
With
squarer, thinner crusts.
Yeah.
Whereas we have slightly thicker, we always go round, and it tends to be quite like a bit chewy, doesn't it?
I had the best and worst pizza when I was in Rome.
All right. Oh, same pizza, or
you had the worst pizza in Rome?
The best pizza was on the outskirts of Rome. We stayed in a place that was quite rough. It was like a few metro stops away, a little bit further out, and it was just like this amazing pizza place, just incredible. And as you say, a lot of it didn't have cheese on. It's just like tomato based. Really, really good. And then the worst one was right by, of course it was a tourist trap, right by the Vatican, where I got it was like a plain base pizza with the lettuce and then tuna on top.
Oh.
I was just like, I was flustered. I was like, oh, what should I have? Oh, I'd pointed at something. You know how you do? You're like, that one.
Oh,
it was grim. It was so bad.
Like cold tuna, was it?
Yeah, it was like cold tuna and lettuce. It was like a tuna sandwich, but nothing on the base. There was nothing on the base.
How does that even happen? You must have chosen the only bad pizza.
No, my wife, the pizza place, probably.
Yeah.
My wife got one that was as bad. It was like potato and frankfurter. Some grim. Yeah, it was really bad. It was really
bad. Frankfurter has to be random.
Weird, right?
Yeah.
That is weird.
I mean, that's kind
she
of
thought it was ham and pineapple.
True of a lot of cities, isn't it? Like even in London, like the best pizza places, like the best pizza places, are in the outskirts.
So this is a bit of a controversial one.
Oh,
but I thought it'd be good, like quite a good discussion.
Okay. Yeah,
well, Big Wagon says unpopular opinion. Unpopular opinion, YouTube is right for not recommending your videos. Ooh. There is already so much misinformation out there that more conspiracies videos will only add to the problem. I'm still a sub, but I watch these for fun, not for information. So thank you, actually. Yeah. I think that's fair enough.
I think I replied to this. I think I might reply to it.
So yeah, right, one of us did.
And I think my reply at the time was, I agree if we were a channel that pushed misinformation.
Yeah.
But I don't think we are. Yeah. I think we cover the topics that are often are misinterpreted, but cover them in quite a balanced way.
Yeah, I mean,
that's what I'd say.
Don't take this the wrong way, Big Wagon, but I feel like your own comment contradicted itself there. You agree that we shouldn't be contributing to the misinformation out there, but you come to us for entertainment, so we can't be misinforming you.
Well, exactly. That's very true. Yeah. If we're like trying to sway him in one way, then he wouldn't come to us because we wouldn't be just, entertaining.
Yeah, I'm glad that we're entertaining you because that's kind of our primary purpose. Good comment, though, because like, as Martin said, I don't think we contribute towards misinformation, but I agree that there is a problem with misinformation.
Especially on YouTube. I kind of sympathize with the... cracking down on conspiracy topics, but also... we're kind of caught in the crossfire of that, I think, kind of unjustly. And a bunch of other channels are as well, not just ours.
I think there's definitely a divide between people that are trying to push an agenda and people that are just trying to cover topics in a critical way.
It's a rule that needs nuance and kind of, needs like a lot of a steady hand, I guess, by YouTube. But it's not. They've just kind of done it as a kind of blanket. Right.
Okay, Martin, okay. I've got a news topic.
Lovely.
Yes. And as I said earlier, it's one that involves the US and North Korea. So this week, last week really, Donald Trump went into North Korea, the first president in office to do so, right? A historic moment.
Yeah, I guess so, yeah.
Firstly, what are your thoughts on that?
Kind of came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, it came from an impromptu tweet, apparently, didn't it? Although you kind of think he must have... There might have been some intent before this, maybe. I don't know. I don't know. I don't almost don't buy how spontaneous it was.
Yeah.
But it could have been that spontaneous. I don't know. Hmm.
Yeah. But in general, I think the media's reaction was fairly positive. There was some skepticism about how much impact it would actually have. But in general, it was he's achieved something that no president before him has achieved. Mm-hmm. And... you know, shaking hands, being on the other side of the border, could be a sign of maybe a little bit of a publicity stunt rather than something meaningful.
Yeah.
But I think most people are like, okay, this is progress. I know that the South Koreans especially were really, really pleased at the fact that Donald Trump had been over there and had been speaking to Kim Jong-un in general.
Good.
But
yeah.
A few days later, North Koreans come back saying that the US is hell-bent on hostility. So, who's playing mind games here? I think that's the big question. So on, just before a few days ago, on the 27th of June, the US and other countries, including Germany and the UK, sent a dossier to the UN saying that they should increase sanctions on North Korea, and this was the day before Trump. Organized with Kim Jong-un to go over and meet with him near the DMZ. Yeah. So
was that timing sounds a bit dodgy.
Mm. I know, right?
Yeah.
Yes, the day before this.
Yeah.
Which is very, very interesting. So basically Korea aren't happy with the fact that the US are supposedly obsessed with these sanctions.
Right.
And they're saying that no more progress is going to be made. Unless the US changes its tact, basically. So it's an attack directly after supposed progress has been made. The North Korean delegation responding to a US allegation that it had breached a cap of refined petroleum imports that was set in 2017. So they're responding to this letter sent by the US, France, Germany, and the UK to the UN member states, which called all countries to comply with the sanctions on North Korea. So the main part of these sanctions was to make sure that North Korean workers who were working in other countries, primarily China and Russia,
yeah.
and then they're working and being paid by these countries to work basically slave labor in their countries. They're saying that these workers should be sent home so that they're not taking money out of the Chinese and Russian economy. So they were, right. they were being paid, yeah,
right.
by the Russian and Chinese governments for cheap labor, which was then being pushed back into the North Korean economy.
Right. Yeah.
So this was basically saying, let's stop this mm-hmm. because it's actually increasing the wealth of North Korea.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I remember reading something shortly after their meeting saying that Donald Trump was looking at the possibility of easing sanctions on North Korea. Mm. I can't remember where I read that. But yeah, what this makes me wonder is, what is the US getting out of this? Because it's easy. It's kind of easy to be nice to North Korea, you know, but like what's the US hoping to gain from being nice?
I mean, that's the rhetoric is very much friendly, isn't it?
Yeah.
Maybe it's not what is the US getting out of this, but maybe what's Trump getting out of this in the short term, being the first president to go over into North Korea?
Yeah. I think that's my concern, is that Trump is using North Korea to distract from his own unpopularity back home. It's an easy win for him to be able to do this. Don't get me wrong, it's an incredible achievement on the one hand, but it worries me that a US president is in a position where North Korea is his PR backup.
What
is going on behind the scenes there that we should be...
Yeah, it does make you think, okay, is the headline, I've built the wall, I'm the first president to go over into North Korea. I follow through on my promises, basically, without actually it being a meaningful step taken.
Like, despite what he tweets, North Korea hasn't denuclearized. It hasn't. It's still, that was actually what I saw the other day. He was considering officially recognizing them as a nuclear power, which is like... That was any president before could have gone to North Korea, any recent president. But there's the reason that they didn't was because they didn't want to legitimize the rule of Kim Jong-un, I guess.
There's a phrase that keeps being tossed around as well. Obviously, an old saying that people are aware of, which is only Nixon could go to China. People keep saying that, I think, in the context of Trump going to North Korea. But it's a misuse of that phrase, because that was based on the truth of the matter, which was that Nixon was so anti-China in his rhetoric and deliberately kind of cultivated a policy of seeming like an unpredictable madman in terms of his foreign policy, you know, proxy wars left and right and center, and threatening to take on America's communist enemies, that when he went to China, it was extra meaningful because it was him. You know, if JFK had gone to China, JFK was much friendlier towards the communists, or rather much more open to peace. And therefore, JFK going to China didn't mean nearly as much as Richard Nixon going to China. The difference here is that people keep using this phrase to compliment Trump, except Trump has never been anything but friendly towards North Korea, except for that one time when North Korea attacked him personally. And then he verbally said, we're going to, fire and fury.
Fury.
And then which he immediately walked back, you know.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
It doesn't quite apply. Yeah.
To me, it all seems like a game on both sides.
Yeah.
You feel like North Korea, maybe they see him more as an easy target because he is quite flexible. But I think both leaders want to seem unpredictable, like they're making advancements for the societies that they're governing over.
Yeah.
Is that the same for Kim Jong-un? It looks good. Yeah. Our quality of life is going to increase because, you know, are these sanctions going to be lifted? But at the same time, we're not going anywhere in terms of our demilitarization.
The whole policy of not negotiating with terrorists, which Ronald Reagan introduced unofficially but effectively officially in the 1980s, was designed with the kind of adage in mind that once you start negotiating with somebody, you recognize their authority. And the whole reason that Trump is the first president to do this with North Korea is because up until now, America's policy has been like, we're not going to recognize North Korea and the legitimacy of the Kim regime. And I think, this is a criticism, but I think this is a flaw in Trump's ignorance rather than he's willfully doing this. I think he doesn't realize that he's legitimizing Kim the more he does this stuff. He's legitimizing that regime. And of course, you could be arguing, you know, it could be true that in the long run, once Trump has successfully legitimized the Kim regime and North Korea is open to the West, it does a China, which is where it becomes much more westernized, capitalist economy starts to take hold, and generally things improve for the people. And obviously, there's no doubt that the North Korean people are suffering. But at the same time, China's only becoming more and more dictatorial, and we've just kind of let it pass because it's become westernized.
Yes.
And Trump may be thinking long term and thinking that what he's doing is the first baby steps to creating, starting the same process that has happened with China, which is the massive human rights abuses and poverty that affected China in the 70s and 80s, will be overcome by opening it to the West. And to do that, you legitimize it and say, look, we want to invest. And that may be what he thinks he's doing. But in the long run, all he'll do is allow a limping dictatorial regime to endure for decades more.
Well, I mean, China and North Korea are very, very different as well.
Yeah.
In terms of population size, in terms of their relative powers, even when China was legitimized way back when. I mean, I don't think you can necessarily compare the two.
No, that's fair. Yeah.
But you also look at the leaders, and you look at Kim Jong-un and that the dynasty that he's come from as well, and the brutality. And you've got to think, is it a power play by the US, or is it actually just, I don't know, is it going to lead to human rights abuses being brushed under the carpet because there's a dialogue with the US, who are supposedly a Western liberal democracy?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a strong argument, though, because as much as we criticize Trump, or like you might criticize him for this, for doing this, the previous foreign policy on North Korea,
like, was ineffective.
Yeah. It hasn't worked.
Yep.
And North Korea isn't going anywhere anytime soon, by the looks of it.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. Maybe I it's easy to criticize, but I don't have a better solution.
No, that's true.
I mean, the point you say about them opening themselves up to a more open economy. I mean, to me, it seems like there's two routes. There's the heavy, heavy sanctions, which basically cripples North Korea even more until they have to.
Yeah.
But then does Kim Jong-un actually care about the economy being crippled?
No.
As long as he's okay and his immediate family, even them. He doesn't really care, right?
Yeah.
Like, as long as the military is still strong, as long as he still has the capabilities to produce nuclear weapons, the country's economy, I don't think, is too much of a concern.
Yeah. Unless the thinking is you cripple their economy to the point where people revolt against the Kim regime. Because it is so much built around him as an individual. Because as we know, he kills any of his advisors and relatives who displease him. So there's no real loyalty to him. That's the thinking. Obviously, like Alex says, it hasn't worked at all so far. But do we need to go to more extremes? Personally, I don't like the idea because, as you say, problem with the sanctions is they just make ordinary people suffer. And Kim's fine. The people you're trying to affect are fine.
Yeah, that's the issue.
Yeah.
The opposite of that, opening up the trade borders. The
thing is, they're already open, aren't they, effectively, with China?
China,
It's not really... What do you think about this press release by North Korea lambasting America for being hell-bent on, what was it, war?
Or
sanctions. Obsessed with sanctions.
Hell-bent on hostility.
This is a pattern. I don't know if it's just me projecting onto it, but have you noticed this thing, which Putin does as well, and Kim's done this, or rather North Korea's done this, where they can simultaneously have this kind of... I don't know, maybe. This thing where Trump can visit and take the first steps.
Handshakes, and then immediately after.
Immediately afterwards. Yeah. And there's two aspects to that strike me. One is, are they just like fooling Trump? Is Trump letting himself be fooled? And the second is, are they literally seeing Trump as this separate entity from the US? And I think that seems to be what's happening here. A lot of nations are saying the US is like this, but they see Trump as completely his own thing, which in a way he is.
See he has a degree of autonomy that other presidents haven't had. Not because he has more power, but because his attitude will always be, screw everyone else around me.
Yeah.
You're fired. Get rid of you. It doesn't matter. I'm going to do what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
So it means that they probably feel like they can manipulate him more because it basically it comes down to what him as the executive, what he thinks of a particular, I don't know, it feels like he's kind of sways in the wind a little bit.
So do you think this campaign, the strategy is to snuggle up to Trump, stay friendly with him, make him feel all good about himself, and simultaneously attack the US publicly as a nation, as a government, so that the US government has the same conversations that we just had, which is, are sanctions really working? We don't want to go to war. We should try a different approach. And Trump is enabled, because he's flattered, to say, I've got a different approach, which is friendlier. Mm. Is that what they're trying to do?
I feel like the one thing I'll say about Trump is when he's like in the room with whoever he's talking to, he'll be like very much on their side, I think, no matter who he's talking
to. That's true,
He does a great job of that.
But so I think maybe he went, visited Kim Jong-un, and there he was saying like, oh, we're good friends. He's a great guy, really friendly. He's been really warm and welcoming. And then Kim's probably like, oh, the US is being so nice to me. Goes home, receives a letter saying, oh, we're putting more sanctions on you. Maybe there's that kind of Trump's just naturally really friendly with whoever he's in the room with. But the US as a whole might have a very different approach.
And there's also, if you look at the states based on propaganda, right?
Absolutely.
The propaganda is Trump shaking Kim Jong-un's hand, but we have a hard line on the US. So it's like, they're wanting to cozy up to us. Look how powerful we are, which fits in perfectly with the rhetoric that they want to show the North Korean people. Keeps them in line, right?
Yeah.
Lovely. Well, on that cheery note, shall we do a quiz?
Yeah.
Let's.
The World Cup championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. Kalshi. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
So welcome to this week's quiz. Now the twist with this week's quiz is that there will be three questions in the quiz, not in total, but there will be three questions scattered amongst the quiz where if you give me the wrong answer, I'm going to take a point away from you.
Do we know what these questions are going to be?
I will tell you what the questions are beforehand.
Just to increase the pressure.
So you don't worry.
Okay.
But yeah, so it's going to be 10 questions plus a bonus question. And let me hear your buzzers. Martin? Sheep?
A sheep.
Lovely.
All the sheep are out there.
And Robin?
Lovely. Classic Wilhelm.
Yeah, nice. Classic Wilhelm. Nice. Can I just ask a question about the questions which cause us to lose points?
Mm. Okay.
Does that apply to our viewers and listeners as well?
Of course.
Yeah, it does.
Excellent.
So if you want to play along, be, you know, honesty system here. So yeah. Let us know what you scored at the end. And I want to say as well, before we start, there's no hard feelings about...
Sorry about that.
No hard feelings about any of the previous quizzes and any kind of, you know, I don't feel robbed at all. It's fine. Uh-huh. Okay.
Okay, that's a kind of clue.
These questions are going to be loaded.
Question one.
Robin, when was your sister's birth? What?
Question one. Yep. In snooker, if a player is 64 points behind with four reds left on the table, how many snookers does he need?
Okay.
How many snookers?
I didn't even know that was a thing. Like an actual...
What?
A snooker.
I know what a snooker is, but I thought if you snookered somebody, it was just like...
59.
That was a thing.
Martin's doing maths.
Yeah, no idea.
Cases.
Do you know what? I will accept closest wins on this one.
Okay.
Do you want to go first?
No, I have no idea. So, yeah.
Someone suggested actually in the comments that with closest wins answers, we should really have you both write something down.
Yeah. How many points ahead? Sorry.
64 behind.
If a player is 64 points behind with four reds left on the table, how many four snookers reds does he need?
Okay. That's.
I really have no idea what, like, I don't really play snooker. I've only played pool. Don't even know the rules of snooker. So, yeah.
How many points do they have? 59.
They have, if a player is 64 points behind.
Can I make a guess?
How many snookers does he need?
12.
2.
Damn.
Martin is right. Damn. Spot on. 2, yeah.
There's 59 points left on the table.
I'm confused. Yeah, well, what is it?
So each time you get a red, you can then put a colour. So the maximum colour you can put is the black, which is worth 7. So that's 8 for each red. So that's times 4, 32, plus 2, plus 3, plus 4, plus 5, plus 6, plus 7. Equals 59.
I made a massive mistake.
Because a snooker's worth 4.
I was thinking in terms of pool. I forgot that in snooker the balls go back on the table. Good maths there. Good knowledge. Yeah. Wait, so I thought a snooker was when you cornered the ball in such a way that your opponent can't hit.
Yes, we get 4 points if they don't hit it.
Okay, so that's 1-0 to Martin.
Minimum, actually. Yeah, minimum.
Now this is...
next time I play snooker and I'm 64 points behind, I can just roll that out and say, hey, I only need 2 snookers to win this.
And get all the maximum, and get a maximum with all the other balls.
Okay.
Cool. Yeah, question 2.
Question 2. Now, this is a pitfall question.
Uh-oh.
So if you get this wrong, you will lose a point. And Robin, you will go into minus numbers.
Yes, this is not a great start.
Okay.
What happened to 3/4 of the people accused of witchcraft in England between the 14 to 1700s?
3/4.
Three-quarters of people accused.
Nothing.
Well, you gotta be specific. Okay, I'll give you the point. Thank you. Acquitted.
Thank you very much.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So nice. That is what
nothing
I meant.
Happened.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Very good.
Good question. Trick question. I like it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Temptation is to say hanged, burned at the stake.
Drowned. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Well done, Robin.
Very good.
You avoided the pitfall. 1-1.
So did I. Just didn't get any points.
Well, as a witchfinder general in my previous life, I have lots of experience.
I've acquitted many a witch.
Okay, so this isn't a pitfall question, but it is closest wins.
Okay. Mm.
According to a new study, how many manufacturing jobs could be lost to automation by 2030?
Ooh. Is this worldwide or just which?
I'm going to assume it's worldwide.
Okay.
Okay.
I could be wrong. I'm going to assume it's worldwide.
Yeah, it must be huge, presumably. Is this a pitfall?
I should say, no, it's not. Okay. I should say as well, the original question when I saw this, it wasn't actually automation, it was robotics. Lost to robotics.
Oh, okay.
But
it's slightly different. But yeah,
I guess it is slightly different. Yeah.
Okay.
Just wanted to clear that up.
Okay. So, it doesn't really change my answer because I have no clue. Go ahead.
I've got to figure mine. I'm going to go for 700 million.
Ooh.
700 million.
Yeah. I was going to say 20 million, but that's not enough, is it?
Are you saying 20 million?
Yeah.
It is 20 million.
Really?
Is it actually?
No way. 20 million.
Well, why? That doesn't sound that many to automation.
By 2030, though, so I guess.
Considering most people work.
Yeah.
Yeah, but 20 million in 10 years.
Oh, 2030?
Yeah.
Okay. In 10 years' time.
I didn't really listen to
that. I guess
there'll be a lot more.
So many people have already lost their jobs to robots that there's not many people. In the industries where robots are most likely to be useful, right?
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, like manufacturing jobs.
Yeah.
I'm guessing there's going to be a lot more in other industries as well on top of that, maybe.
Maybe I was being too skeptical. Or maybe I just thought it'd be more like a...
I guess it's the manufacturing
rather than
jobs.
Like 0.3%. Yeah.
So I guess like there'll be driverless cars and that kind of thing. It's automation as a whole will affect the whole world in terms of jobs. But
I guess also the other 680 million people, in Martin's guess, will find new work as slaves for our robot overlords.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
Yeah, very true.
So that's 2-1 to Robin as we go into question 4.
Probably get an extra point for getting it spot on.
I wish, but no.
This isn't a pitfall question as well.
Okay, it isn't. No.
It's not.
Okay.
So England were just knocked out of the Women's World Cup, but can you tell me who they beat to make it to the quarterfinals?
To make it to the quarterfinals?
Yep.
To make it... Do you know that was the semi-final that they got knocked out?
I do know. I know what I asked.
Okay. once they beat them. And then in the last 16, they beat Cameroon.
So your guess?
Yeah.
It is Cameroon, yes.
Well done.
And then they beat
Norway.
Norway to get into the semifinals. Yes. But then, well done to the Yanks, knocked us out.
Yeah, they're a very, very, very good team.
Yeah. Do you think they're going to win now?
Yeah. I thought they were going to win in the beginning, too, but...
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Place bets?
No.
Oh.
But at the beginning, it was between them and France, and then after the first game, it's like... Yeah, they won 14-0 or something, didn't they?
No, did they?
Was it 14 or 15?
Jamaica, was it?
They beat Thailand.
Oh, Thailand, that was it, yeah.
Wow.
It was embarrassing. But what was more embarrassing than the scoreline was the fact that even at like 14-0, they were still doing like pre-planned celebrations. Like the Thailand girls were like in tears and they were doing these there was so much disrespect and lack of tact. It was unbelievable. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. You've already won.
Yeah, you've won. Yeah, I don't mind scoring goals, but like these, just the celebrations were just so over the top.
Right.
Yeah, it was pretty, that's pretty
quite
bad.
Sad, really.
Yeah, it was a little bit.
We have to watch the highlights from that match. Okay.
Question five.
Okay.
This is a pitfall question.
Oh.
What happens if you cut an earthworm in half?
This is...
Okay.
Because...
Martin's going for it.
Does it die?
It does die, yes. Because there's that myth that if you cut it in half, it'll become two worms, but that's not true. It'll die. Yeah. Mm.
Yeah. Okay.
I guess it becomes two dead worms.
that doesn't happen. Two dead humans.
Yeah, exactly. It doesn't work that way, Robin. Okay, so again, Martin, you avoided that pitfall.
Phew.
So well done. So it's 3-2 to Martin.
Oh, no.
As we go into question six.
The shame.
And also, I mentioned that this was a themed quiz, and this is where the theme comes into it. Ignore the previous
questions.
It's
a themed quiz, but none of the others have been themed.
Because today, not when this goes out, but today is a very special day.
It's Independence Day.
Right?
It's America is Great Day, isn't it, or something?
What's that?
Trump's whole parade thing is not about independence.
Oh, yeah.
It's just about
America. It's called a bit of a storm, isn't it?
Yeah, America Day or whatever he calls it.
Well, you know, prior to Trump, it was Independence Day.
Yeah.
So I've got a few questions to test you. Ooh. How well you know our friends across the pond.
Oh, dear.
Oh, dear.
Or five questions on this.
There are five America-themed questions. Not all of them will be on about the 4th of July. But
question
somewhere.
One, what characterizes a Chicago pizza?
Question six.
Yep.
So despite today being America's Day of Independence, only one member of Continental Congress actually signed the Declaration of Independence on the 4th of July. Can you tell me who it was?
Mother clucker.
Who would it have been?
I know this.
Okay, it wasn't a common one then.
You would know the name though.
Yeah.
You would know the name.
I'm not going to guess anything.
This isn't a pitfall question, by the way.
No.
So feel free to have it.
This is absolutely wrong. Jefferson?
It was not Jefferson, no.
I take it wasn't Washington.
It was not Washington, no.
He was not a founding father, was he?
He wasn't even a founding father. I don't know.
I don't believe. I'm probably wrong.
Shall I give you a clue?
Yeah.
This might be a fingers on buzzers clue for this.
Okay.
It's also a term, if an old timey person was to ask you for a signature.
Oh, of course. Yes. John Hancock.
It is a John Hancock, yeah. It is John Hancock.
Yeah.
It's just a John Hancock.
Nice. Yeah.
You, sir, what is your name? John Hancock, you'll do.
Okay, so that's 3-3. As we go on to question seven.
Gosh.
Can you tell me what US state was the first to declare the 4th of July a national holiday?
Ooh.
Martin.
Was it Pennsylvania?
It was not Pennsylvania. What made you seem pretty confident?
I would have gone for that as well.
Yeah.
Virginia.
It was not Virginia. No.
Should we have one more each?
Might as well.
I don't even.
Is it East Coast?
It's got to be.
Genuinely,
you don't know.
I don't know enough about this state to know where it is.
Presumably, it was declared in the early days of the United States. The United States didn't expand westwards until the 19th century, so it's got to be in east.
Yes. Good point.
East or maybe Midwest, I suppose.
Don't know much about a state.
I don't know much about it. So I'll tell you what it begins with.
I might give away.
Yeah,
go. Can I go for it? Why not?
Yeah.
Starts with M. Mm.
Maine.
Not Maine.
Maryland.
Not Maryland.
Damn.
That's
it. I was going to go for...
Are you going for one more?
No, go for
one more. One more guess.
Montana?
Not Montana.
Mississippi.
Not Mississippi.
Wait, how many of the ones are there then?
Yeah. It's Massachusetts.
Oh, nice. Boston. Boston, of course.
In 1781. So they were the first
that's surprisingly
five
early.
Years after.
Fanatics.
Okay, so that is...
Why do we get that? That makes so much sense.
Yeah.
So that's three, didn't even think. Three each still? No. Three all?
It's on the coast as well, so it's just... Yeah.
Yeah.
East Coast, Boston of all places.
Of course. Three all, I think it's three all.
Question eight.
It is a pitfall.
This is not a pitfall.
Okay. So that is the last one going to be a
pitfall. Okay. Maybe. Actually, I will tell you it is, so don't worry.
Okay. Questions.
Interestingly, and this really surprised me, actually, three US presidents have died on the 4th of July. Can you give me one of their names?
Like middle name?
Can you give one of the names of the presidents?
That's really interesting that three of them have died on the 4th of July.
Lyndon B. Johnson.
It was not Lyndon B. Johnson. Care to hazard a guess, Robin?
John Adams.
It is John Adams. No. Is one of them, yes. Do you want to know, do you want to know something else?
Dang it, Napoleon.
All three of them were in the first five US presidents.
No.
It's John Adams, Thomas Jefferson, and James Monroe. So John Adams, number two, Thomas Jefferson, number three, James Monroe was number five. All died on the 4th of July. Wow. How weird is that? It's almost like a curse or something.
Well, I bet America, I mean, that's not to diss America, but that kind of fanaticism about the USA and how brilliant it is must have only been reinforced when three out of your first five presidents die on the 4th of July. It's just like...
He died for our country.
Yeah. Ordained to be.
That wasn't an American accent put on there.
Yeah, that was not meant to be Americans. No. Mid-Atlantic, maybe. Mid-Atlantic, leaning towards Britain.
Yeah.
Okay. So that is 4-3 to Robin.
4-3, yes.
As we go on to question nine.
I'm failing miserably at this, American.
Just say John and add a surname and you'll get something else.
Buzz Aldrin may have been the second man to walk on the moon, but what was he the first to do that? And I've got some options here, if you would like some options.
Should we guess first and then the options?
Okay. Yeah, have a guess each and then I'll give you the options.
Well, there's so many things he could have been the first to do.
I'm sure he was. Yeah. He was the first to do a few things. But I'm after something in particular.
Pick up moon rock.
That is not correct.
Probably was.
It could have been, actually.
Take a photo.
Good guess.
Good guess. Not what I'm looking for. So I give you the options.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So option A.
Do we both choose one and then you tell us what the real one is?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Option A.
Pissed himself.
Option A, throw a baseball. Option B, play golf.
And golf.
Option C, receive Holy Communion. Option D, moonwalk.
Oh, that's like, that's a tricky one. I'm going to say play golf.
I'm going to say baseball.
You are both incorrect. It's actually receive Holy Communion. While he was on the moon, his church gave him permission to take up like a space-sealed communion package and self-administer Holy Communion while he was on the moon. He was on the moon, like
in the space capsule.
In the capsule.
Yeah.
That's
there we go.
Something I never knew.
No,
that is pretty cool. See, I see that when you said that, I was like, "Well, that seems the most plausible." But you have to have a priest. Mm. I was like, "Yeah."
But his church gave him permission based on the fact that there'd be no priests on the moon.
Yes,
at that time.
Yeah,
that's not very optimistic of them, really.
No, you can't. You've got to send me with you.
You get there, and there's a Catholic church where the priest was waiting. It's like, oh, they're good everywhere. Wow.
So that's still 4-3 to Robin as we go into question 10, but it is a pitfall question.
I've got to go for it then, haven't I? Or could I hope you...
Yeah, master's chance to draw because I play safe, just don't give an answer.
And this is also probably the hardest of the pitfall questions.
Oh.
Again, related to America.
Okay.
How has the Statue of Liberty changed since it was constructed?
Whoa.
How has it changed? That's quite a big question.
It's changed colour.
It has changed colour. Yeah,
I was
that is.
Say that.
Oh, that's sorry, Martin.
It's the only thing I can think of.
It's made from.
It's made from. It's, yeah, it was red kind copper. Of like, it was red, and now it's green,
reddish brownish.
Yeah, should we get a point for that? Or?
No. I'm afraid not.
Oh, very good.
Yeah,
very good. Interesting. Some interesting stuff there. I suck at anything American.
Oh,
that's why they like you. Over
which
there.
I'm not too disappointed about.
Would you like to do the bonus question?
Yes, please. Yeah, bonus question.
It's on America.
It is not. No.
Okay. Cool. Probably get it right then.
And it's closest wins, so you know, it's everything to play for.
Sorry.
Go on then.
That was an accident. Sorry.
How many people living on Earth does the UN think there will be by the year 2100?
Oh my word. It's like 7 billion now, right? 7.5 billion?
Yes.
Yeah. Like 8.5,
right? Now? Yeah.
So the question is, do they think it will just keep growing, or will there be like a cutoff point where it kind of stops sustaining itself?
That's interesting.
Or are they really pessimistic and like, by 2050 most people will have died?
The Earth will have gone.
Yeah. Am I gonna say,
okay, something in mind,
13 billion?
Okay.
More than that, surely.
Really?
I'm sure it's gonna be more than that. 25 billion.
25 billion?
Yeah.
The answer is actually surprisingly low.
Really?
It's only 10.9 billion. What? By 2100.
Oh. The UN, we are useless.
Wow. What, still, as a human race?
That is still only, a huge amount of people.
That is a lot of people.
But I swear there's like 8.5 now. And it's grown from like 4. Oh, it's grown from like 6 to 8.5.
Yeah,
like, since I was at school, I remember it being 6 billion.
I mean, I remember that too.
It's interesting though. I think what you're saying might be true with the kind of it will level out eventually, maybe. Because I think in a lot of countries, particularly developed countries, populations are actually going down.
There's two ways it will go, isn't there? The quality of life will get better, and so people don't need to have as many children, as is the case when poverty is present. Or poverty increases and loads of people die off.
Maybe
a mixture of the two.
And then, of course, there's all the strain on resources is only going to get worse.
Yeah, exactly.
So I guess there's some kind of population leveling out that will occur.
Okay, cool. Well done. Very good. You're pretty close there. Pretty close.
I'm surprisingly close.
Yeah.
I think
it was going to be way more.
Yeah, you're just 3 billion out.
Yeah, 2 billion. Oh, it was 10.9.
15 billion off.
That's right. I suppose the UN might be thinking that enough people will be following. I was going to say Zac Efron. That's not his name.
Elon Musk.
That's the one.
I don't know how I knew what you meant. Because I think I could see what point you were going to get.
Yeah.
They were following him off the earth.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
So I was thinking you're about to say Elon Musk.
10.9 billion on Earth and another 20 billion on Mars.
Yeah.
Very famous inventor, Zac Efron. Oh, wonderful.
He invented joy.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, Zac Efron might be among like, you know, the people
that's
to
true.
Go off.
Yeah, who knows?
Yeah.
Stranger
things have happened.
Indeed. Talking of Stranger Things.
New series.
Also, excited.
I'm going to go home after this and binge watch it. But
I like to play a game. I don't know if our listeners and watchers like to play this game, which is spot the conspiracy theory that they're adapting into this season's plot.
Oh, yes.
It's a fun game.
Definitely.
Yeah. Short game.
So what have they done so far? Not to spoil, give anything away.
No, I don't want to spoil anything for our listeners.
Okay, fine.
AK, can't really remember.
Why would you say that, Martin?
MK Ultra is definitely up there.
Yeah, actually, I think they name checked that one. MK Ultra is actually part of the plot.
Good quiz, Alex.
Great quiz.
Second half, which was rubbish. It was good.
Yeah, let us know your scores at home. Was anybody caught out by the pitfall questions? I want
to
know.
I mean, to be fair, most of our audience is Americans, so
they're probably
You've beaten us. I really hope you've beaten us.
Also, let me know who else got the snooker question. That was just crazy.
I was not expecting either of you to get that. I'm kind of a bit annoyed that Matt's got it.
So that's the flip side, isn't it, of having a largely American audience. Snooker's not really pool's big over there, not snooker.
Yeah. Oh, well. Anyway, let us know what you think on today's topics, and keep your comments and reviews coming in. It really does help us, especially the reviews on Apple Podcasts and other platforms like that. And as always, thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. And we'll see you next time.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.